We're going to head out to the Metro PCS hotline and speak to Eric Friends, AFC East writer from Bleacher Report. Eric, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing excellent. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, and we're looking forward to talking about this post-draft situation that all the teams are in around the AFC East. And before we move to the other teams in the AFC East, let's start down here in South Florida. Give us your thoughts on what Dennis Hickey accomplished in his first draft as the Dolphins general manager.
Well, I think you have to start with the offensive line. That's obviously the first-round pick, Juwan James, and then the third-round pick, Billy Turner. They finished up that rebuild, so you now have your five starters on the offensive line. I think it's pretty clear that those two free agents they signed, Brandon Albert and Shelly Smith, will both start, as well as Juwan James and Billy Turner, as I mentioned. You know, some people have some criticisms about drafting Juwan James where they did. I can understand the criticisms, you know, having a couple of safeties on the board, and the Dolphins could have used one of those safeties, either Calvin Pryor or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, but they chose to go with James, and I think it's obvious why when you hear Joe Philbin say that he can pass protect one-on-one, and that was really obviously a huge problem for the Dolphins last year. So starting with the offensive line, I think it was a good draft, and then going to the wide receiver spot with Jarvis Landry, a good addition there as well, a productive receiver, kind of a question mark as to when he'll contribute, but with some big decisions maybe coming up here in the next couple seasons on Mike Wallace, potentially on other receivers on the depth chart like Rishard Matthews, they could get some more mileage out of Jarvis Landry than people think.
Yes, and that's one of the things we've been talking about a lot too, is that depth position at wide receiver and what they're going to do with the depth chart there with all the talented names they suddenly have. But you also mentioned, I was reading some of your work on Bleacher Report, that Jordan Tripp, the fifth round linebacker, could be an important name in a year or two. What have you heard about him that makes you think that he could be a guy who could develop into an impact maker for this Dolphins team?
Well, I mean, he's just a versatile guy. He can play on special teams, so he's going to obviously, I think he's going to have an opportunity to earn a roster spot right from the get-go, and then you just add that speed that he has to run from sideline to sideline. I think, as you guys know, there's been some question marks as to whether guys like Danelle Ellerbe and Philip Wheeler are really in the long-term plans for the Dolphins as much as, you know, they were brought in last offseason to be, you know, kind of long-term answers for them. There's some questions about that going forward. So now you have a linebacker in Jordan Tripp who could potentially play, you know, one of those spots if they decide to move in another direction. So I think he has the ability to play either inside or outside, and I think it'll be interesting to see how the Dolphins utilize him in that first year. It could be tough to get him on the field with so much depth there with Deion Jordan. I know they've been trying to figure out whether he's going to be a true defensive end or an outside stand-up linebacker, but you have to wonder exactly what they have in mind going forward. So I think Jordan Tripp was a good pick to kind of solidify the depth chart a bit.
Eric, a lot of people have talked about, you know, the fact that the Dolphins went SEC on three of their eight picks, but they also talked about how small schools have also been a big part of this draft. A lot of people don't know much about some of these guys, like a Walt Akins out of Liberty. We know he had a shot at Illinois originally in his college career, or Jordan Tripp out of Montana, or Matt Hazel out of Coastal Carolina. Are there like a lot of players like this that are really good that we just haven't seen because they're not on a big stage like some of the bigger schools?
Well, it's always tough to make that transition from the college ranks to the NFL, whether you're in the SEC or whether you're in the Ohio Valley Conference, right? It doesn't really, I mean, there's always going to be a transition, and sometimes, you know, the level of competition making that leap can bring out the best in a guy. So you always look for guys that have that competitive spirit, the want to compete and to win starting jobs, and then to not just win starting jobs, but then to go out and perform on the NFL stage. And I mean, we see players do it all the time. There are obviously some small school prospects that are starting for the Dolphins right now, so you look at it from that perspective, and they could certainly get some mileage out of these guys from the beginning, especially with guys that are coming in at positions of need.
Eric, I wanted to move around the AFC East a little bit, and I wanted to start not with the New England Patriots but with the Buffalo Bills. They seem to make the most noise in the first round of the draft, going up and getting Sammy Watkins from Clemson, and then turning around and getting Cyrus Kwanjo from Alabama, one of the names that were rumored for the Miami Dolphins. What do you think about, first of all, Sammy Watkins and adding to, you know, the firepower to help EJ Manuel in his second year, but Cyrus Kwanjo as well to help for protection up front?
Well, first with Watkins, I think it's interesting because, you know, they draft Watkins, they go up to get him, they give up that first-round pick next year, which I think is a pretty dubious decision to move up five spots. I mean, granted, Sammy Watkins was the best receiver in the draft, and they had to move up to get him or else he wouldn't have been available. Somebody else was bound to take him. But I just wonder, from my perspective, you know, next year, I mean, if they don't get a lot out of E.J. Manuel, if he doesn't develop as they think he will, then you kind of have to wonder whether they're going to, you know, whether they're going to look in another direction, whether they would have wanted to look in another direction if they had a first-round pick. Obviously, that option is now out of their hands. But this is just kind of an interesting decision to me because, you know, you've mortgaged the future now. And, I mean, Doug Marrone and Doug Whaley are both relatively new in those offices. So we all know about the passing of Ralph Wilson and that there's a potential change in ownership. So maybe Doug Marrone and Doug Whaley feel like they got to put their chips in the middle of a pile now, make an impact so that they can kind of prove to whoever the next regime is that they belong.
Eric Friends, AFC's writer from Bleacher Report, joining us here on the Finsiders on the Metro PCS Hotline. And Eric, I know that you cover the AFC's, but you're very tuned in to what the Patriots are doing. So you take a look at their draft as a contrast to the Bills. The Bills kind of trying to win now. The Patriots seemingly looking towards the future with Dominic Easley in the first round, Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback, in the second round. What was the philosophy for Bill Belichick, and what are the expectations from this draft class?
Well, I think the main takeaways are twofold from this Patriots draft. First of all, like you mentioned, that they're kind of taking the long view to the draft. A lot of teams will draft for need and will force players into positions of starting roles where they may not necessarily be ready for it. And I know that a lot of GMs are trying to get as much mileage out of their drafts as soon as possible to prove that they are, that they're worthy of their new jobs or however long they've been in office. But Belichick doesn't have to worry about that. He can kind of take the long approach because he has so much job security, so he can build for 2 to 3 years from now and not worry about not getting a lot of mileage out of this draft class right now. So I think that was a smart decision on their part to get ready for some upcoming contract situations like Ryan Mallett, who is entering the last year of his deal. Dan Connolly is entering the last year of his deal. They brought back Ryan Lindell on a 2-year deal, but he wasn't given much guaranteed money. So drafting all those offensive linemen, I mean, as much as we say that they were building for a couple of years from now, those guys could start this year. And then the second layer to the draft for me was the versatility. You grabbed a bunch of guys like the cornerback Jamia Thomas, who can also play safety, the center Brian Stork, who can also play guard, the defensive end Josh Moore, who can also play defensive tackle some. So you have some options there to move guys around, and you'll see exactly what those guys can do for you so that you can now go out and kind of make some decisions based off of what they bring to the table.
Eric, really appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here on the Finsiders.
All right, thanks a lot. Good talking to you guys. Thanks,
all right, Eric. There he is, Eric Friends, AFC's writer from Bleacher Report, joining us on the Metro PCS Hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com. Hawk Hour, join the Dolphins Orange Pages today to take advantage of special offers and network with other business professionals through the Dolphins Business Alliance. Visit orangepages.miamidolphins.com. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, listening on dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.
The name you know and trust for new cars is the name you want for used cars.